morning.
Good morning.
If you're just now joining us online, please let us know you're here by commenting below or visiting our website and filling out a Connect form. As we enter into our worship time today, we are in the third Sunday after Pentecost, which we also call Ordinary Time. So we're not in any specific kind of liturgical season where we're gearing up for something. You know, we have this long season of green over the course of many Sundays. And so this week, we're going to start a sermon series around the parables of Jesus. And, you know, Jesus liked to talk in parables, right? If you've ever read any of the Gospels, Jesus tells these little short stories where he tries to explain some things that just feel and seem unexplainable. Kind of what preachers try to do on Sunday mornings, right? Try to explain that this complex book and try to explain who God is and how God works in our lives. And so Jesus spends some time teaching. In the text. And we're gonna be looking at Mark's gospel specifically today, but before I read our text for this morning, Jesus is teaching, and he tells the parable of the sower, which you might have heard. And then it says in Mark 4, verse 10, it says, when he was alone, those who were around him along with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, that they may listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. This is kind of a hard text to swallow for me, because as I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, I'm not in Jesus's inner circle, right? We're not there sitting next to him, gleaning these understandings. And so I sometimes wonder, is Jesus saying to me, well, we want you to look, but not perceive. I want you to listen, but not understand. Well, this morning, we're gonna try to perceive a little bit. We're gonna try our best to understand, even though these parables are sometimes mysterious, sometimes they're hard to glean, because Jesus likes to use real world examples. I don't know about you, but we're not living in the year, you know, 0 BC, in the middle of Israel, right? We're in 2021 and in Midwest in the United States of America. We have a very different geographical and time experience. And so we have to study some of the history behind these parables to really understand what Jesus is talking about. So this morning we're going to read the parables of the seed. The growing seed and also the mustard seed. You've heard of the parable of the mustard seed before, right? It's found in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's found in Matthew chapter 13 and also Luke chapter 13, excuse me. And there's other places where Jesus talks about mustard seeds. In Matthew's gospel, in chapter 17, verse 20, after he casts out the demon from a possessed boy, he says, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And so in that particular story, excuse me, Jesus is comparing the mustard seed to faith. But here, Jesus is comparing the mustard seed to something very different. He's comparing it to the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever wondered what life is like beyond this life? Any of us? Many of us? I think it's a question that we as humans ask. We wonder. We dream. We think, what could possibly be beyond this earthly existence? What is heaven like? What is the kingdom of God like? And so when Jesus comes, Jesus who is God incarnate, it is Jesus that will hopefully give us some sort of answer. But Jesus isn't super clear. Instead, he compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. So let's read now the parables of the growing seed and the mustard seed. If you have a Bible, You can turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be reading from verse 26 to verse 34. It is in our tradition that we stand during a gospel reading, so I invite you to stand with me as we read this together. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then a full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which has sown up from the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up, and it becomes the greatest of all the shrubs. And it puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With such many parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I don't know about you, but I really wish I was a disciple in secret, right? After hearing those parables, because they're somewhat confusing. So the first question that Jesus asks is, you know, what is the kingdom of God? And this is a theology that many scholars have written about. It's called eschatology, the theology of the hereafter, or death and judgment, the final destiny of our souls. And there's a lot of debate about what this means. You can hear different things about what people believe about the hereafter, right? Some people believe that on the day of judgment, all of the believers are going to be kind of sucked up into the sky, right? You ever heard that before? Some of us. As Methodists, we believe in what's called an inaugurated eschatology, meaning we believe that God's presence, the kingdom of God, has been realized, but there's still more to come. It's an already and a not yet. The Book of Discipline describes it like this. It says, "Wherever persons are being made new creatures in Christ, wherever the insights and resources of the gospel are brought to bear of life of the world, God's reign is already effective in its healing and renewing power." We believe that God is here. God is working alive and well right now. We're not just waiting for heaven, because this is a part of the kingdom of God. Which sometimes seems crazy, right? Considering all the bad stuff we see in the world, right? I mean, if you watch the news for longer than 5 minutes, it doesn't feel like the kingdom of God. But Jesus coming, Jesus teaching us, God physically present, incarnate with us, is part of God's revelation moving among us. And so, when we ask, what is the kingdom of God like? I kind of want us to keep that theology in mind. Jesus tries to give us an answer. He says, "What shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed." Now, I don't know about you. I've never seen a mustard plant in real life. Anyone? Seen one? George has. Kyle has. Okay. How big are they?
The one I saw was small.
The one you saw was small?
Yeah, okay. I mean, they get decent size, though, for, like, a little...
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For a little shrub.
Right? They're a shrub, right? I mean, it's not a great, big, huge tree. How many of you have ever seen a mustard seed? Some of us, okay? How small are they? They're small, but have you ever seen seeds that are smaller?
No.
I mean, I have some mustard seeds in my office. I'll probably have to bring them out. But, I mean, I've seen some seeds that are... They're definitely not the smallest seed in the world, right? But Jesus, when he's preaching this parable, he said it's the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all the shrubs. And some of the commentators that I've read about this passage are saying that, Jesus is kind of being a little sarcastic here. Because it's not actually the smallest seed. And the mustard plant is not actually the biggest shrub. But yet, it says it puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. It's almost like he's saying, this small seed is going to create this great plant, and the birds are going to be able to build nests. And those around him are looking at him like, what, Jesus? We've never seen a mustard plant that big. The shrubs don't get that large. For people, we often expect God's reign to show itself in, mighty deeds, in transforming and mega and awesome ways. But sometimes the reign of God, the kingdom of God, is more subtle than that. Sometimes it comes in shrubs and not in great big trees. Powerful nations in this time like to compare themselves to the great cedar trees. Most of them never would have thought, I'm going to compare myself to a mustard shrub. Right? They wanted to show power and authority. But if we remember who Jesus is, in that final week of Jesus' life, how did he come into the city of Jerusalem? On a donkey, right? He didn't come on a horse. He didn't come with a cape and a crown, like a normal gold crown, right? And a sword. No, Jesus came humbly on a donkey. And he wore a crown of thorns, and his feet were bare. Jesus often doesn't show up like we expect. And I think that's kind of what Jesus is trying to tell us here. That the kingdom of God, although it starts out small and it grows large, it may not be right smack dab in the front of your face. You may have to look for it a little bit. At the end of the parable, he says, the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Some commentators say, well, many commentators say, the birds nesting in the shade, they represent all the nations of the world. That it is us that will find rest and shade and peace and calm and comfort in the mustard bush, in the kingdom of God. God's going to take care of them without any trees at all. No empires, no great big shiny temples, just a big bush that grows up from a small seed each and every year. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Let's pray. God, I give you thanks for allowing us to worship together. For this parable that you give to us that's often confusing, and God, I admit, I may not get it right either. But Jesus is speaking to us in unique and powerful ways, but sometimes not like what we expect. God, change our expectations. Allow us to see you anew. And God, allow us to go out and to show the world what your kingdom is really about. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.